2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Alright, and welcome to the first of many DFS Army Fantasy Football season-long podcasts. I am Kevin Allen, aka the Fantasy Football Geek, the founder of the DFS Army, and I promised you guys I was going to get a little bit back to my roots, my love of fantasy football this season, and that's exactly what we're doing here, starting out with our first season-long fantasy football podcast of the year, and I've got our newest DFS Army contributor, Alan season-long says Lowski on the line with me, and Alan's the guy that I turn to when I have questions about fantasy football things. So what's up, Alan, man? Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Good to be here, man. You know how much I live and live for our conversation, so I'm excited that we're finally getting an opportunity to talk about this kind of stuff.
Hell yeah. Not just live for our conversations, but you live for fantasy football, and I you and I talk a lot about during the off season about you know, different impacts of different players and all these things happening. And I happen to know that you also are a big fan of the best ball format, which for many of our listeners don't know, fantasy football is all year round now, because between draft.com, which sponsors the DFS Army, and you can get a free month of DFS Army membership when you sign up for draft.com via the pricing page on the DFSArmy.com website. And also, I think MFL does these season, these best ball leagues, and they go all season long. So fantasy football is year-round, baby, and I love it. Can't get enough of it. All right, so today, the goal of this podcast, we're about a week after the draft. We've had a little bit of the actual NFL draft, and we've had about a week or so to absorb some of these moves and some changes and some different things that are going on. So that's, I think, what we're going to focus on today is kind of the impact of the NFL draft on what we expect to happen in our season-long fantasy football draft, and of course in our best ball league. So do you have any, what do you think, Alan, are the biggest impact players from a fantasy football perspective that came out of the NFL draft outside of the very obvious Saquon Barkley last week? And actually we'll talk about Saquon as well. But
yeah, just taking a step back, I'm one of these guys who starts best ball even before the draft. A lot of people don't like to do those. They like to see where everyone lands. I think the best values can be had by doing drafts in March, and then it's interesting to see where the guys go and where the marketplace dictates. So to answer your question, I don't think anyone is in doubt where Saquon Barkley is a first round pick. I've seen him high as pick 4, as low as pick 10. But the guy who I am hottest on in the running back, I've been talking to you about this for a couple weeks. I still love Darius Geis. I think he's the best player, and he has the opportunity there. I know some people are hot on Rashad Penny. We're going to talk about him and Sony Michel, the Patriots, taking a running back in the first round. But I am still in love with Darius Geis.
All right, so let's focus on the Geis, or the Juice, as I hope he will be called and known heretofore for a minute here. So he goes to the Redskins. Redskins, as we know, don't really have a workhorse running back. I'm pretty comfortable saying the Pirine experiment has failed, right? So, but they do have Chris Thompson, a third down sort of super electric kind of passing down running back. So do we think the Juice is going to get some passing game work, or is he, are you thinking kind of strictly a two down guy? You know, where do you foresee him going in best ball drafts, like round wise?
Similar to you, I consume as much content with podcasts and Sirius Radio and as about these players before and all year round. And I've heard a lot of people talking about the Juice, as I'll call him that one time for you, that he's a two down guy. He interviewed poorly. He can't catch the ball. This is what the donkeys are saying. Donkeys that just read other people's work and actually don't do the work for themselves. Those who actually know and study these people and look at them all year round and just refer back to Darius Geis' high school tape, specifically in the the game where they have all of the high school all-stars. If you take a look at those highlights on YouTube, you'll see this guy making acrobatic wide receiver type catches. He is a three down back. Whether he'll get that opportunity right away, I'm not sure. As you mentioned, Chris Thompson, before the injury, was a running back one in season long. He was an every week starter. I'm betting on the talent here. Sure, there's other running backs in this class that have a clear opportunity right off the bat. But to watch this guy play, I don't think there's much difference between him and Saquon Barkley from a talent perspective.
That's you. Yeah, I do think, you know, you have your two aspects to every player, and you have certainly the talent part of it, but also the opportunity. And when we're looking at a one-year window, as opposed to, let's say, a dynasty window where, yeah, I think that talent's going to bubble up to the top. And eventually, you know, hopefully, yeah, again, opportunity does hold a big factor. But, you know, Chris Thompson gets injured, and next thing you know, Juice is the next big deal if he has all of that talent within. But in a one-year window, you do have to be concerned, especially in PPR leagues, of how the team is going to utilize a player. I do think that mystery remains for the Juice, at least in year one, where we're just not 100% sure. Now, one of the things I always take into account, both with the season-long, I would say more in a dynasty approach than the season-long, is just where they're drafted. I think players taken earlier just have a better chance of being the focus of that team. You know, they're going to, if you're a first-round running back, that team is going to do everything in their power to make you into a star.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. I hate to do that because you're making a great point. But I'm going to give you a clear-cut example that might be contradictory to what you're saying. Sony Michel was taken in round one by the Patriots. Darius Geis, Ronald Jones, those guys are taking later on. Who do you think is going to have more opportunity? You think Sony Michel is going to take over the New England Patriots backfield? They had never, ever have a clear-cut guy, at least that's predictable week to week. They just signed Rex Burkhead to an extension. So where what you said about a first-round running back should get the opportunity first, there are examples, and I think this is the year where you could say it's not what's likely to happen, it's what happens if.
I agree on Sonny Michel, and you know Nick Chubb, taking a few picks later, I think is in the same situation, sitting behind Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson on a very crowded Browns backfield where you're like, yeah, normally I like those, I love those early picks, but I totally agree on Michelle and Chubb that I think there's super risk in year one with both of those guys. I think neither one of those guys will be a high draft pick by any stretch, because we just can't predict how much opportunity, especially Chubb, but even Michelle is going to get.
Well, what you said is really important, and also it matters where these guys are getting picked. Before the NFL draft happened, Darius Geis was going early to mid round three. He was about, I would say he was probably around the 25th or 6th running back taken. His ADP has dropped significantly.
Really?
He is, yeah. I mean, he's now going after, he's going ahead of guys like Carlos Hyde and Jay Ajayi and even Deion Lewis. But he has dropped down now below the Derrick Henrys. He's dropped below the Joe Mixons. Darius Geis, he's still, I guess, at the end of round three. You don't have to take him. I'd be interested to see where Rashad Penny's going in relation to him. I'm looking at it now. They're similar ADP. Penny's going in round four.
How about Ron Jones? Where does Ronald Jones fall in that mix? So if you're looking at current ADP on best ball leagues, between Jones, Geis, and Penny, what are these all late third round type scenarios, or is one standing out from the other as far as going ahead of or behind other ones?
Okay, I'm in the middle of a best ball draft right now. We're actually in round 9. In this particular draft, Geis went first. He went in at pick 3.7. Penny went in the pick 5.5.
Wow.
And this is 12 team drafts. I think that's a little late for him. But hey, great value right now. And Ronald Jones went a round later. He's actually the best value at pick 6.7. So of those three, maybe Ronald Jones is the guy. I mean, if you want to wait and load up on some of those Doug Baldwin type receivers in round 3.
I mean, I think what you've just discovered is a little bit of a market inefficiency that's happening at this point. Because I promise you this, these all three, especially Jones and Penny, these guys are going to be shooting up those draft boards as time wears on, as sort of the rankers start to put out their rankings and all that, and all these sort of fantasy football, you know, ADP type, all when all these rankings come out, those guys are going to move up. So if people are playing best ball leagues now, here are some incredible values you're going to pick up later in the draft that you won't be able to get later on. So it's a great time to jump on some of these season long best ball leagues. What I love about best ball just in general is just, I said it and forget. You know, I did a bunch of them last season just instead of mock drafts. And I don't know if I looked at them all season long. Then I jump on my draft.com account. You know, we get busy in season, you can imagine. Playing, you know, they're small potatoes compared to, you know, what I'm doing on FanDuel and DraftKings on a week-to-week basis. So I don't really pay much attention to it. But finally, I jump on my draft account. I'm like, oh, shit, I won a bunch of these. That's awesome. And I had all this money in the account. I'm like, yeah, ready for next year.
It's like finding money in your pocket when the laundry comes out of the dryer, right? It's the same thing.
It was just that. I'm like, you know, because this year, I think you and I spoke at one point, and I'm like, yeah, I gotta start doing these draft leagues. It was about a couple months ago. I'm like, I probably have to throw some money in that draft account. I use the draft app because A, MFL doesn't work here in New York, and B, it's awesome. It's on my phone. It prompts me when I have a pick. It's a really, really, I know they are sponsoring the site, so, but it's a really cool thing. It's a fun, it's easy to use, and yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I like that snake format. Even in season, it's kind of fun, but certainly the best ball is pretty awesome. So definitely something I recommend.
You said something really interesting also about draft app. It is the best interface of all of the best ball formats to play on. You could do it on your phone. You could do it on the computer. I've done them while taking a break at work during my lunchtime. You can really do them very quickly as well.
That's awesome. And let's hope that no one from your lunch, from your office is listening. Because Alan clearly is drafting fantasy football lineups.
On quote lunch.
Yes, when he should be eating lunch. Okay. All right, so we went over a couple of these running backs. This is a huge part. I think that running backs tend to have the biggest impact in their first year. It's pretty rare that you have a Odell Beckham situation where a rookie wide receiver kind of just goes bananas. So that's kind of why I'm focusing a little bit on the running back position. So far we've kind of talked about some of these guys. Rashad Penny. Let's talk about Rashad Penny for a second, just as a player and in his situation and where he belongs. Because I actually think maybe Penny should be the second rookie off the board if you're asking me. And it's more of a situation thing than it is maybe a talent thing. I don't really know the guy's talent, but I know he went in the first round. Seahawks, a team that doesn't have an established running back at all, and their running game has been in shambles for a few years.
Like Chris Carson?
I mean, you could talk about Chris Carson. What has he done? He's done nothing. He had some potential. He got hurt. He's done nothing. McKissick, these guys are, there hasn't been a guy that's been able to lock down the position. And Carson had a game or two. I don't think that propels him above a first round pick on a guy that's supposed, I mean, on a guy that's supposed to be a three round guy. I mean, you would take, you're currently favoring Juice over Penny in a season-long draft.
I am. I don't think that's what the consensus will be. I think that the marketplace will agree with you come August if we put ourselves in the time machine. I've just seen these guys play. I've watched them through college. I've watched their tape. I've watched the combine. It's one of those things where I just don't agree with the ADP or the consensus. Doesn't mean I'm right. It just means that I see what I see.
I think sometimes you can allow, I think in fantasy football, and this can be deceiving, sometimes you can allow your eyes and perceived talent to influence you more so than opportunity, whereas I'm a big opportunity guy. I definitely go a different way with my approach. And because it's a one-year thing, I want a guy who I know is going to get the ball a lot. I want a lot of touches for my running back. I don't care as much about the running back talent level. I want opportunities because the statistics show that every touch that a running back gets leads to fantasy points. And so if I can get a guy who's going to get 20 touches a game and he's going to be leaned on, I want that guy. And a guy like Juice, like I said, I still see the barrier of the third down back on that team. I think that's a challenge. I actually have a season-long thought, non-draft related, in that same vein, which actually I'm going to bring up here in a second. But whereas I can see Penny getting the passing down work. Now, it's possible that he won't, because Seattle does tend to like to run out a third down back. So that could be completely being misread as well. You know, Seattle does like to run out a third down guy. They've always done it, even with Marshawn Lynch when he was there. They had a third down back that they would run out there. So I guess that maybe these two guys aren't as different of situations as maybe I would have imagined, other than the fact that I think that Chris Thompson is a better third down back than what they have in Seattle with McKissick or whoever they use over there.
I think that you hit on something really important. I don't see much difference in the opportunity. And I think what you just said, Kevin, is rule 101 for advanced fantasy football season-long players. Opportunity is king. We've seen guys come out of nowhere with no pedigree, undrafted free agents, Corey Clement get 100 yards in the Super Bowl last year. That happens because he got the opportunity. I guess where you and I are talking through is that I don't see much difference in the opportunity. And what if Chris Carson becomes a third down back? Maybe that's a role better suited for him. McKissick. These guys, even though that Penny was taken in the first round, I think that was more out of need and it was considered a reach. I still think that Geis is a first round talent that fell for reasons that, if you read the articles, are pretty dumb. He showed up late to meetings.
So
that's not a reason to fall.
So what you're telling me is I should be taking the Geis or the Juice with the second pick in my dynasty draft this season as I sitting on pick number two. That is a strong pick. That's some good advice right there. All right, I want to jump over to a couple of different ideas I have. So we've talked about some of these running backs, and I think we've covered most of the impact ones. I think the last running back that I put on the impact list, I basically think it's a four-player, but I'm going to say a five-player draft as far as the impact. So Barkley number one, take your pick of Geis or Penny in the number two most important. 2-3, however you want to rank those two. Then I'd go Ronald Jones with the Bucks. Again, an opportunity situation. There's just no one there. Second round pick. Pick number six. High pick. Don't know much about him. And then Sony Michel or Michael. What's his pronounced? Michel?
It's Sony Michel, but there's one running back we're forgetting to talk about here.
Wait, let's cover these. I think I know who you're going to talk about as the last one, but I think I'm assuming you're talking about, well, actually, I mean, you could talk about Freeman and Kerryon Johnson too. Both of them have potential, but I think these four are maybe the highest impact ones. Now, Ron Jones versus Sony Michel. Who goes first?
Who do you think should go first, or who do I think will go first? Those are two different questions.
Who do we think is in the better spot?
Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones is a second round pick.
Who is he competing against? He's competing against Peyton Barber.
That's not a competition. When you talk about Peyton Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers, these are old players. And Charles Sims is strictly a third down guy, never going to get a lot of carries. So Ronald Jones' path to a lot of carries, and I think Ronald Jones is going to go under the radar. Like, you're not hearing so much talk about him.
You're not hearing a lot of talk about him yet, but we are in early May. Give the baseball people time to start looking at their football. Wait for the hype to start, and people will get bored of talking about Rashard Penny and Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis. They're going to get bored. They're going to look for another player that they can elevate up. It always happens. The guys at the top that are the hype guys get pushed down, then back up. That's why I really love doing these drafts and studying this stuff early, because it's amazing to see how the market keeps changing.
I agree. And again, these are all scenarios that present opportunities in these best ball leagues if you're starting them really early. Because like I said, most people don't know the name Ron Jones, but this guy looks like he's going to be maybe, certainly he has workhorse potential with the Bucs. Do you have any scouting on this guy? Is he, can he catch the ball? I mean, is he, can he,
yeah.
Is he one of these guys that can't get receptions? Like what's his deal?
He was at USC. He is an electric player. He returned some kicks. It's fast as all can be.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, this is a guy that he could be on special teams to open up the year. So if you plug him in as a flex, and you're getting a couple catches, a couple runs, but this guy could bring one back to the house at any time. And anytime you can get your special teams player to also be pushed into your starting lineup, now you're talking. You're talking about how you take your roster from a middling playoff fringe to how we win our leagues. With a player like Ronald Jones that's going in the sixth round right now, he is a league winner. Think about Kareem Hunt from last year, where he was going at this time. Ronald Jones could end up being going in the second round if we see him break one in the preseason. So you gave your listeners great advice. Get on Ronald Jones now in the sixth round.
I mean, you know, if you think about it, what's different about Jones's opportunity than Juice or Penny or any of them? He's in the same spot. He's going to get the starting role. He's going to get workhorse carries. The Bucs don't have anyone. They're dying in Tampa for an acceptable running back. They've had the shell that was Doug Martin over there for the last few years, just you know, slogging around like his feet were dipped in molasses for some reason. No,
that guy looked like he had oatmeal in his pants.
I mean, what the hell happened to him? All right, and I don't know. He's like he was the muscle hamster, and then he turned into like the loose you know, gerbil or something. I don't know what the fuck happened to him. All right. Well,
that guy sucks.
He really was. He was a one-hit wonder, man. You know, talk about a guy who destroys your fantasy teams for multiple years. Hello, CJ Spiller. I'd like to introduce you to Doug Martin, your fellow destroyer of fantasy lineups.
I'm gonna put Amir Abdullah in that category as well.
I never had the faith in Abdullah that I had in CJ Spiller after his first year, and then he just. The worst. And the same thing with Doug Martin. Abdullah at least never did it. Abdullah was potential that never happened. Those two guys flashed greatness in their first season and then just turned into garbage. I don't know how that happens.
Well, the reason I have the equal fantasy hate for Amir Abdullah was he broke one amazing play in a preseason game, and his ADP went from like the ninth round to the third round in some league, the second round.
I remember.
And I think off of one national TV game where he did have a nice cut for a touchdown, it elevated his status for years. Disappointing most fantasy owners.
We see that, and maybe it's a reason not to get too excited. You know, I saw Gio Bernard one time just make this incredible play. I think it was in his rookie year. And I watched it, and I said, this man is the next coming of Barry Sanders. Like, he was spinning, he was twisting. I'm like, oh my, the talent. And, you know, 5 years later, we'll see if he makes the team this year. So the last of the, I would say the last of the rookie impact potential, or the last two potential impactful running backs, in my opinion, from this draft class are Royce Freeman and Kerryon Johnson. Now, Kerryon Johnson went to the Lions, pick 11, second round. Same pedigree as all of these other guys. They took him high. And it speaks to your discussion of Amir Abdullah and the disappointment that comes from him. Now, I'm going to say this. The way that the Lions play the running back position is very, very risky. They don't like to use one guy. They have LeGarrette Blount over there. They've got Theo Riddick over there. And now it's just a lot of bodies. So if I'm nervous about any one of these guys, it's him, and I think he rightfully belongs in the late or first, second, third pick for your bench category in most fantasy leagues. I assume that's where he's going. Like, if you're in that league and you're on the ninth round, is he available?
The short answer is no. Your logic is spot on. Lions running backs, it's always a three-headed monster. You have, they signed LeGarrette Blount, who's actually been good for the last couple of years with the Patriots and Eagles. If they get on the two-yard line, it's a LeGarrette Blount touchdown. Theo Riddick is probably a top two pass catcher in the league. Kerryon Johnson, I love him. He's long. He's got a lot of David Johnson type of qualities to him. But you're asking for trouble from a fantasy perspective. And right now he's going on the 7-8 turn.
All right. So he's going maybe a little bit sooner than I would go. I will say this. Kerryon Johnson makes a fascinating dynasty prospect for exactly the reasons you just mentioned. You know, they have LeGarrette Blount, an older player there, Theo Riddick, older player. You know, David Johnson was thought of the same way. When David Johnson was coming out, and he went in the second round of dynasty drafts, it was because Arizona had another Andre Ellington at the time who looked like he was sort of the star, or at the very least the 50% of receptions type of, or of carries type back. And so no one was kind of thinking David Johnson would secure this role. But in that case, over time, the talent won out. So that could happen with the Lions. If Kerryon Johnson turns into a star, you know, after, you know, LeGarrette Blount, sure, he becomes the goal line guy on occasion, but we've seen where, you know, if there's that possibility of a, you know, Theo Riddick gets cut next year and all of a sudden Kerryon Johnson becomes the next big thing. But I don't think that's happening this year. And I'm going to say, you know, jumping over to Royce Freeman, who the Broncos took at pick 3, as much as I prefer pedigree as far as higher draft picks, I think Freeman has a pretty reasonable path to some carries. I mean, what are your thoughts on Freeman and his competition with, I don't know, Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson, who neither one of them have really seemed to distinguish themselves? What do you think with Freeman? Is there a chance he emerges as the top guy for the Broncos?
Not only do I think there's a chance, I think it's inevitable. Royce Freeman, the guy, I would tell all your listeners that should be on your fantasy team. If you're doing best ball, get him wherever you can. I've seen him go a little earlier than I like in some. I thought he would be a fifth round pick.
Really?
Some maniac just jumped up in the third in this last draft and grabbed him.
This is blowing my mind right now that Royce Freeman is going that high.
You want to know who went after him? You want to know after Royce Freeman went, Kenyon Drake, Jay Ajayi, Deion Lewis, and Rashad Penny were followed. He's going before Alex Collins, before Tevin Coleman. Royce Freeman in this particular draft, which I thought was early, went in the third round. I think most drafts he's going to go in the fifth. But there are Royce Freeman, truthers out there. This guy's good, man. He's going to be the guy in Dynasty that slips to the Alvin Kamara range from last year. I think this guy's going to be the sickest. It's just a question.
This is big time stuff, what you're telling me. And you're blowing my mind a little bit. Cause wow. I thought Freeman was the worst of this group. Not from a talent perspective, just from, you know, a situational perspective with all those other guys. I cannot believe he's going that high.
Well, that's why your listeners who subscribe to your podcast get this great information. I mean, you're not going to hear this stuff anywhere else. Royce Freeman, all the donkeys, the people that are just copying everyone else's rankings do have him lower. And that's why we talk through this stuff, Kevin, because it's right here. You hear that Royce Freeman is going to be one of the guys that your league mates pass on, and that he's going to be on all of our rosters. And this is what's going to help us stack cash in DFS. This is what's going to help us win our season long leagues. So, that's why we do this.
That's awesome. And I'm going to take this moment to let everybody know, you know, Alan, aka Season Long Says, is going to be with us in the DFS Army, talking season long fantasy football all throughout the off season. We'll have more of these podcasts together coming up throughout the summer. And, you know, we're just going to make sure that all of our listeners, all of our members, are going to crush their season-long leagues this year, because that is our first love. We love fantasy football. We love fantasy sports. All right, so let's move off of the running back position and just talk about general impacts of the fantasy draft on maybe some other players. Like, for example, you know, how improvement in one area might actually lead to some positive things for some other areas. One of the things I always look at, because we want to see what teams are going to improve. And from there, we can get a sense of which players might be put into better positions. And let's start with some of these quarterbacks and some of the teams that they've gone to and how that might impact things. So, I mean, I think the obvious we have the obvious Brown situation, right? Browns pick up Baker Mayfield. They have Tyrod Taylor. Whatever it is, their quarterback situation has improved.
So we're recording this podcast on Cinco de Mayo, on May 5th. And the news this morning was after the first practice, Hugh Jackson from the Browns came back and said, we took Baker Mayfield number one, but Tyrod Taylor is our starting quarterback. And we've heard that before where that they pay homage to the veteran that's there. I really believe Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback. The Vegas has the under over on starting games for Tyrod Taylor at 3.5. I think that's a good sort of barometer of Baker Mayfield. I think that they're going to let this team play out a little bit with Tyrod. And if the Browns are 2-1, 3-0 for some crazy reason, I think you're looking at Tyrod, which is better for all of the Browns skill players.
The Browns have a muddled situation at running back, so I'm not even going to get into that because I can't really see choosing one as some sort of a high pick. But you have two superstar wide receivers on that team, fantasy stars, in Josh Gordon and Jarvis the Juice Landry.
You're borrowing his nickname from somebody else? It can only be one Juice, and we all know that's O.J. Simpson.
I mean, how are you going to have the last name Geis, and I'm not going to call you the Juice? I got a problem with that. I have a problem with it. Let's see if something else emerges, but I mean, I don't know.
We could debate this on another podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't. If his name's going to be Geis, I'm going to call him the Juice. All right. Gordon and now Landry. Now they have a real quarterback. Does that elevate either? Now, I think Jarvis Landry, is a guy that's going to drop from where he's been, a second round pick. He's not going to be that. Probably fourth, fifth rounder.
Yeah, you hit it exactly right. Right now he's going, his ADP is right smack in the middle of the fourth round. He doesn't make it out of he's never made it out of the fifth. I've seen him go in the mid fifth, but he is not being selected in round two and three like he traditionally is.
I mean, you don't want a possession wide receiver with Tyrod Taylor who doesn't throw a lot. I mean, it's just not a good mix. And then Gordon, who's a big play guy, kind of knocking some of the rust off of that body last season. Got some flashes. I'm excited that he played a little bit last year because now we'll have a full offseason to sort of prep and, you know, come back in and maybe he'll be the Josh Gordon electric player of old. Where's he going? Third rounder, I would assume?
Well, you and I both have a lot of love for the Black Anaconda. We know Josh Gordon is the sickest. He is going in the fourth round. If you haven't been burnt by Josh Gordon on the comeback, I'm sure some aggressive drafters will take him in the third round. There's other guys I like in the third round. That's why I haven't had any Josh Gordon on my team. And I see him for some reason when he does come to me in the fourth, sometimes I'll skip over him. But I probably shouldn't. I probably need to get a little bit more Josh Gordon. The decision is coming down to, when you're on the clock in the fourth round, you're having to choose between Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, and Josh Gordon. Those guys are getting clumped together, it seems, in all drafts I've done so far.
I like all those players. If I'm making a choice, I mean, you gotta love, gotta love Cooper, love Allen Robinson and his new situation. Gordon, I think I'm taking Gordon third out of that grouping. As much as I like Gordon too. I mean, those are some great wide receivers you're still picking up in the third round, which is a reminder as to why this is the year. Actually, since we only have a short amount of time left, I want to cover one more offensive situation, but it is a reminder that this is the year where the running back position is going to go bonkers in the first and second round. It is not a time when 2 years ago we saw five wide receivers go before the first running back. Those days are over.
You hit it right, man. If you are doing best ball, get your running backs. Scoop them up. Sometimes even passing over a wide receiver talent like a Mike Evans to get a Devontae Freeman, to get a Joe Mixon, because in this particular format, best ball, you don't have to guess on those wide receivers in round 5 through 8. That's where the value is. Get your running backs early and often in best ball format this year. You're right.
Absolutely. And not in all season long format. I just think it's the year of the early running back. And I want to talk about the first round in a second, because that's what excites people. You know, who goes first. But one last team I want to talk about, my beloved New York Jets.
Oh my God.
Hey, excuse me. Sam Darnold, the number one quarterback in the draft, is going to be at the helm at some point early in the season. We know some names. We know Robbie Anderson. Doesn't like the cops. We know that. But he does like to catch touchdowns, so it's a balance with him. We've got Quincy Enunwa coming back from injury, and I think Enunwa, unfortunately, will be the number one wide receiver for the team. We'll see how that goes. And also, the pickup of, and I think very under the radar, because I've been getting this guy super late, Isaiah Crowell, who, for some reason, the fantasy community doesn't seem to like, because I've been in these best ball leagues where Bilal Powell is going ahead of Isaiah Crowell, as if they have no clue what the Jets do with the running back position at all, which is not to feature Bilal Powell, but rather that Crowell will be the main guy. So, what are your thoughts on Crowell this year, as late as he's going? I've been trying to get him and Bilal Powell in every dynasty league, just to have the pairing figure, not dynasty, in every best ball league, just have the pairing figure. I'll own the Jets backfield. I can get him in the 6th, 7th, 8th rounds. And now I'm pretty comfortable that at least one of my running back spots will at least have some scoring going on in it all season long, assuming both those guys don't get hurt. But where do you like the Crow, Powell, and what do you think of the Jets offense as a whole as far as those two wide receivers? Are any of them considered WR3 worthy even, in your opinion?
Talking about Isaiah Crowell first, a boring pick for a boring team like the New York Jets. It seems just like a New York Jets type of signing. That said, I think you nailed it. He is a great pick in the 10th round. Nobody wants this guy on their team. I think you're going to be happy to have Isaiah Crowell on those bye weeks, to stick him in at your flex if you're stuck there. Great pick in the 10th round. I've seen him go as early as 7, as late as 12. If he falls to you and you need a running back, it really is a great pick. One guy, you talked about Robbie Anderson. I own him in Dynasty. I traded for him in Dynasty. I overpaid for him in Dynasty, and I'm so happy I did. This guy's, he scores touchdowns. He catches long passes. Is he a little nuts? I don't know. Maybe. He's hurting himself with some of the off the field issues, but it's causing his draft position to go down. So I'm scooping him up in leagues. And one guy that you didn't mention that you can literally get in the last round of drafts is Terrell Pryor, the newest New York Jet. Reports were that he was hurt last year. Now you hear that a lot, but remember what Terrell Pryor did 2 years ago, 1,000 yards, scored touchdowns. So, when you talk about the New York Jets and their real life and fantasy prospects, I'm okay with Terrell Pryor. And you had mentioned Sam Darnold. Listen, that guy's going to get an opportunity at some point. Josh McCown is going to be a quarterback coach when he does retire. Darnold landed in a great spot as a closeted Jet fan and now a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Listen, I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I have to adopt the home team. Especially while they're here. But Sam Darnold, you're right. He was the number one draft prospect on most boards. He landed in a great spot. I think the Jets fans have reason to be hopeful this year. And I like all the guys and the Jet players where they're going. Powell, I don't like as much this year. I'm sure he'll be useful, but he's just not a player that I really draft. I don't see the upside like I once did with Bilal Powell.
It's funny that he's going ahead of Crowell in best ball leagues, and it's a mistake. And best ball. And one of my philosophies with best ball is I need live bodies scoring points every week. I would say, in looking back at my results from last year, 6 or 7 out of 10 teams or 12 teams, 6 out of 10 teams by the end of the season, had positions where they just weren't scoring at all because all their players got hurt and they had no tight end or no viable RB2 or no this or no that. So the best ball is it's almost a who can last the longest type of format where if you can protect yourself and just have a live body put up numbers at every position every week, you're almost guaranteed to at least finish in the money. And that's exactly the scenarios. If I can get two guys and lock up a backfield, and listen, both guys can get hurt. Shit happens. But if I could do that, then I'm feeling good about that spot, especially if I can do it late with guys who maybe are going to be my third or fourth starter at a certain position. All right, let's jump into the final things. We have about 5-10 minutes left here. Since everybody loves talking about the first round, top of the draft, and that first 10 pick kind of thing, let's talk a little bit about the first 10 picks in the draft here without getting too involved. I think you and I agree that Todd Gurley is the first pick overall this year.
I'm taking, if I have pick 1.1 and I have in a couple drafts, it's auto click on Gurley for me.
Okay. So, we'll go through some consensus guys here real quick. Number two, Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, he seems like he should be the number two since he gets the crazy amount of usage. And Pittsburgh this year, I think they understand that next year this guy may not be on their team. The window is short. So I think the usage is going to go through the roof. He's gotten injured in the past. If you're nervous about that, there's some other guys, but he is my number two. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes one or three in a couple drafts.
Okay. I could see him going number one and number three. So let's say our third running back. Are we talking David Johnson here?
That's my number three running back. Where most of your listeners play in PPR leagues, and that's where David Johnson has such a safe floor. He catches the ball. I know it's a new coaching staff, but he's their guy. Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson is the offense there. And his injury last year was not a lower body injury. Let's remember, it was a wrist injury. So he's been working out. He's been staying in football shape. We're not having to worry about an ACL, a knee, an Achilles. David Johnson basically got a year off. He's gotten 300 carries less than he would have normally have gotten. And he's my number three locked in running back.
All right. So some people might be thinking, is Zeke Elliott in that number three spot ahead of David Johnson? I'm going to make a quick argument against that. And then I want to talk about the wide receivers and who should go first. With Zeke Elliott, talent, unbelievable. He's incredible when he's out there. But we did see the emergence of a third down pass catcher on that team in Rod Smith, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Rod Smith, we're talking at the very highest ends of sort of little slight differences. And I think the Rod Smith factor and the factor that they're going to bring in probably, he was very good, an electric player. I think they're going to bring that guy in quite a bit. Not so much just on third downs, but more in the hurry up situations that running backs, you know, churn out points like crazy. It's one of the reasons why I will not be drafting Melvin Gordon at all this year. Let the suckers draft him. But with Zeke Elliott, he's still going to be a star. But I think that factor of kind of like maybe just a couple less passing down snaps or maybe not getting those hurry up offense snaps takes him down just a notch for me. What do you think of my thinking there? Am I crazy?
I love Rod Smith. I think that he's a guy they're definitely going to get more involved with. Did you know his brother is on that team as well? He's a linebacker out of Notre Dame. Jalen Smith, he was the guy that was injured. Jerry Jones reached in the second round. He was a first round talent.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's pretty, yeah, I learned that from watching All or Nothing, the new Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna watch that.
It's highly recommended. Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think there's reasons to be concerned about Elliott, not as a player, but just as should he be a top three pick. There's going to be people that take him at one that love him. I think all your reasons are valid, but you're talking about the top five. We're splitting hairs. That's why I have David Johnson locked in at three, but I do have Elliott at four.
I agree, and it's all about tiers for me. So, you know, this is, I believe those four running backs are the top tier, period. You know, and then, you know, within that tier, so we're splitting hairs a little bit. All right, so once we get past those first four running backs, now we're making decision, is this the time to take a wide receiver? Most people will say yes at that point.
It depends on your format, I think, but in PPR leagues where you're starting three receivers in a flex, which are most of the formats I play in, I think Antonio Brown's a no-brainer pick right there.
All right, so I'm gonna shock your mind for a second here. I am taking DeAndre Hopkins ahead of Antonio Brown this season.
Wow. Wow.
I'm saying that here, and I'm saying that now. I'm putting it in writing. I'm putting it on paper. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this is, it's a controversial position I'm taking with DeAndre Hopkins. The reason is, I believe that Ben Roethlisberger is an injury risk. A serious injury risk at this point in his career. He's been getting hurt every single year. He's getting older, and the style that he plays is conducive to him getting whacked and him getting hurt. Antonio Brown just does not produce in the same way when he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the football. He still is fine, but he just is not a superstar without Roethlisberger in there, partially because the Steelers don't really have a proper backup quarterback that can deliver the football to him. I believe that Hopkins, A, has shown that he can deliver even when his star quarterback is on the shelf, but B, is much more of a focus of his team, which doesn't have the same level of running back or alternative skill position players as the Steelers do. The Steelers can have a game where Bell scores a bunch, Juju Smith-Schuster scores a bunch. They have a lot of weapons over there that aren't called Antonio Brown. Whereas Houston does not. They have a DeAndre Hopkins and then a bunch of players you don't know what their names are. So I do know what their names are because I'm the fantasy football geek and you are season-long says. Of course you know what the players are, but you get my point.
This is why your subscribers belong to DFS Army. This is the kind of stuff they get here. DeAndre Hopkins as WR1, you've opened my eyes a little bit. I think that you would shock most drafters. Antonio Brown, because he's been that top guy for so long, may have gotten a little crust in my eyes here. You're turning me on to DeAndre Hopkins because he was so sick when Deshaun Watson was healthy. He continued to be able to play with any quarterback. I know when Brock Osweiler was with him, it didn't work out, but it might have been a little frustration on Hopkins' part. I think not only can I not hate, but I think that this is a really great take, an exclusive take, has DeAndre Hopkins as your WR1. I love it.
All right, I'm really happy that you're on board with that. I've been thinking about this all off season. You know, we get it's the same thing with Bell going first. We get into this routine of no, Antonio Brown has to be the first. And listen, Antonio Brown he's awesome. He's the man. But I, for my money, I think that Hopkins is actually going to have a better year. I think he's got less risk factors around him that can blow up in his face. Obviously, any player can get hurt. Hopkins can get hurt. But I think the surrounding team around Hopkins and his quarterback situation, the younger guy, yes, he got hurt last year, so whatever. But I still think, I don't expect Watts to get hurt again like that. And if he does, so be it. Hopkins still did really good with backups in place. And I think it's a higher likelihood that A, Brown gets that Roethlisberger gets hurt because he's been getting hurt every single year. And if not, even then, they have so many weapons on the Steelers that I think Brown is going to have a hard time being as consistent in general. All right, so we have just another couple of minutes left. Let's run through the rest of this. The only other wide receiver for me that is first round worthy is Odell Beckham Jr. Are you on the same page?
Yeah, Odell is going to drop late to later part of the first round because of two reasons. One, he was injured last year, and it's people got burned by him, and people are going to go a little running back crazy, rightfully so. If you're picking at pick 8, pick 10, and Odell Beckham falls in your lap, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, you just received a top 3 guy that was going in drafts the year before at pick 8, 9, 10. So I am very much on board. Beckham is back to full health. People make a bigger deal than they should about the offseason, the off-the-field stuff. They are going to use Beckham. He's going for the big money contract. I wouldn't be surprised if Beckham finishes as the best overall non-QB in fantasy this year.
Absolutely. I mean, if he stays healthy, He's got all the chance in the world. The Giants are going for it. They didn't draft Barkley because, you know, they're rebuilding. They drafted Barkley because they want to win it this year. They're going all in. I like Beckham in the first round. I might like him right in that wide receiver group, because I have a hard time with the next bunch of running backs and their consistency, and I have some issues with all of them. I don't think we have enough time in this podcast to really go over it. I'm going to save that for next one. But, you know, I'm going to talk about some concerns I have about names like Kareem Hunt and even Alvin Kamara that might – definitely Melvin Gordon, who I think is the most overdrafted player and the highest likelihood to bust in the first/1-2 round.
He's going in the early second right now.
Now he's going early second, but to me he's a bust. Potential. He's going ahead of guys that he shouldn't. We're going to talk about that on our next one. Let's save that for the next podcast. So this was the inauguration, an inaugural season-long fantasy football podcast with myself and season-long Cez. We're going to do a bunch of these this year. We're going to get everybody ready for their best ball leagues. We're going to get everybody ready for their fantasy drafts. And, you know, we're going back to the basics here. And, you know, my first love, which was always season-long fantasy football. So, Alan, I'm really glad that you were able to join me today. And I hope it was fun for you. It was definitely fun for me.
It was a great time for me. I love look at how many knowledge bombs were dropped so quick. And this is only the first one. And people can get me on Twitter. And I'm going to start tweeting out more information like this. They can see me basically. You'll link it to your page. It's a long Twitter name, so I'll post it in the show notes of this podcast.
All right, yeah, we'll post that. We'll post that contact in the notes. And obviously, if anybody wants to get more insight from myself and from Season Long Cez, you can sign up to become a DFS Army VIP at dfsarmy.com. We have a free month offer. That is a $40 value when you sign up for draft.com with a new depositing account via the link on our promo page. This is huge. Don't send us your dues. We don't want it. Go on the page, go on the website, sign up for dfsarmy.com, jump to the free month promotion, sign up via that link to draft.com, put 20 bucks in, 40 bucks in, start doing best ball leagues. They're awesome. I'm in them. You might be playing against me in some of them. Alan is in them. You might be playing against him in some of those things. Right? And they're just fun. It's an easy way. You don't have to manage it. You sign up. You let us know. There's instructions. You write us back. Say, hey, we signed up for draft via your link. You get a free month of DFS Army VIP membership. We cover all the daily fantasy sports, everything you could possibly think about on FanDuel and DraftKings, NASCAR, NHL, MLB. We have an optimizer. We have incredible spreadsheets. There's nothing we're lacking. We got guys taking down $100,000 prizes every week. I'm sitting here right now sending a swag bag out to one of our members last night who took down $10,000 in NBA. If you're playing daily fantasy sports, DFS Army's where it's at. If you love your season-long stuff, hey, look for this podcast in wherever you find your podcast. And we'll be coming back every couple weeks to kind of update things. And as we get closer to the draft, we'll be doing this even more frequently. So I'm excited for this season. Alan, this was awesome. I can't wait to do it again, man.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.